Tonight's Bible reading is from Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 34, and you can find that on page 1031 in the Pew Bibles. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Woo, woo. Hello. Hey. Hey. Man, emotions, hey? I've never felt them before. Thank you for being here, I guess. This is exciting for me, and it's kind of nuts at the same time. I'm going to say something, and you're going to say something back to me. Now, don't worry about what you say, because you already know what you're going to say, but I'm just encouraging you that this isn't a library, okay? You can respond however loud you want, whichever way you want, okay? It's going to be very short. You've got to be ready. Here we go. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie! Very good, very good. Now, all I wanted to do was see if there was any Australians in the building tonight. I thought about like getting you to put your hand up, but that was like so boring. So that's the way I did it. And it sounds like we've got a couple of Australians here, which I guess makes sense. We're in Australia. But I wonder who came up with that. Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi. That's one of my favorite things about being Australian is these weird lingo phrases that we come up with because they're so bogan. Like, they're so bogan. Struth. I left me thongs in the dunny. She'll be right. That's not a famous saying yet, but we'll get there. I love our lingo. There's two favorite phrases that we use. The first one that I love is, "How you going?" Sometimes without a testy pop. Let's give it another go. "How you going?" That's my number one favorite catchphrase for Australians. "How you going?" Or if you live a bit more west than here, "How you going?" Now, if you maybe you haven't been in Australia for that long, or you haven't grown up in that culture, or maybe you're just still confused of how do I answer that? It's not a question. "How you going?" is not a question. I don't want a response, okay? But there is one thing that you can say back to someone who asks, "How you going?" You say, "How you going?" Then don't say anything. Walk away, and everyone will be happy. That's my first one. My second one is, "No worries. No worries." This is deep. This is powerful. No worries. It's not just a saying, it's like, that's our attitude for everything as Aussies. No worries. No worries, mate. Like you're rushing to get to wherever you need to go in the morning and you burn your toast. No worries. Or you sit down for a test and completely fail. No worries. No worries. This is a good one. You go through drive-thru, they give you the wrong order. No worries. No worries. Really? I ordered a medium double cheeseburger meal with Coke. Not a medium double cheeseburger meal with Diet Coke. How incompetent are you? I'm going straight to the top. I got Ronald right here. Does it make sense? As much as I love no worries, I don't think it's true. I think it's a big fat lie. Because you know as well as I know, we've got worries. Plenty of worries. We fail an exam. That's devastating sometimes. The burnt toast, day ruined. As much as I love no worries, I reckon it's a big fat lie. Because some of you, you worry. You've got worries. And maybe you came into church tonight and you've got a worry. Or you've got a few worries that you just can't seem to shake. And maybe you're worried. You're even worried coming into church. Because, you know, we're here. And we're a bit freaky. So how do we deal with that? And I want to ask you the question, well, what are you worried about? What are you worried about? What are the worries that are in your life? We worry about passing exams. We worry about friendships not being healthy. We worry about our loved ones, our family, not having health. And for some of us, worry just consumes our whole life. In fact, you might have not even noticed what was going on because you know there's some things that I can't get this off my chest. Wouldn't it be great if we could live without any worries? So that would be the life. No worries. I would love to know how to do that. So how do we do it? How do we live with no worries? Well, what does the world say? How does the world say to have no worries? Well, I reckon the world says, if you're worried about it, fix it. If you're worried about money, just get more money. If you're worried about relationships, get more relationships, fix them. If you're worried about fitting in, get more clothes and do more things. If you're worried about the future, well then get more degrees, get more security, get more money. But here is the problem. It's not true. It's not true that we can just fix our worries. And I've tested it. You see, I've tested this before because I was looking forward to something so much. I've been waiting all my life for this one particular thing, and then I got it, and I was completely fulfilled. I got the iPhone 4. Now, this was a couple of years ago. It was actually new back then. And I was completely satisfied. No more worries. I can't even remember the phone I had before it. That's how ancient that was. I got the iPhone 4, but a year later, there was a new iPhone. I wasn't satisfied anymore because I want that one. And then you get the iPhone, you get the phone, and you drop it. I was going to drop it, but it's actually going to smash. You drop it, and just pretend that dropped. And you're like, oh my gosh, please don't be smashed. Please don't be smashed. And you turn it over, completely smashed. You see, the world says, just gain more. If you want no worries, then get more stuff. But it's not true. You see, I've tried it and I've failed. And I'm sure you have. And Jesus is fully aware of this. And that's why he says in that passage, he says, do not worry about your life, what you will wear or what you will eat. What he's saying is there's more to life than just food and clothes. Imagine there was someone who only focused on what they ate and what they wore. Does it make sense? That would be a completely wasted life. There's so much more to life than those things. He says, don't get caught up in the petty stuff. Now, don't get the wrong idea. When Jesus says, do not worry about what you eat or what you wear, I don't know if you picture in your mind some people that take that literally, that they don't care about what goes in their body and they don't particularly care about what they wear. It's kind of a disgusting picture. Or the other way, well, therefore I'm not going to bother eating or getting clothes. That's even more disgusting. But he gives us a reason of why we shouldn't worry about these things. And he says this, life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Now, this is a great concept, but we still need food to survive and we still need clothes, you know, so it's appropriate and stuff like that. And Jesus agreed. And what he does is he compares us with birds. Interesting thing to do. And he says, consider the birds. They don't sow or reap, yet God feeds them. The point that Jesus is making is, he's saying, look at the birds. They're way more chilled out than you are, and yet they still get fed. Why would you worry about that stuff? And look at the reason that he says that they get fed and that we get fed. He says, God feeds them. God provides. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God will provide for our needs? Because maybe you've wanted something and you've asked God and hasn't come through. But do we really believe that God will give us what we need, not necessarily what we want? We don't have to worry because God provides our needs. But Jesus gives us a second reason why we shouldn't worry. Have you ever looked in the mirror one morning and maybe you didn't have a good sleep or whatever? You look in the mirror and you're like, that's disgusting. That shouldn't be there. I wish that wasn't there. Maybe fix that up a little bit. And then you go out into your day and that is on your mind. You're like, oh gosh, I wish that would go away. I wish that would change. Because you're thinking, other people are looking at me and thinking the same thing. That's disgusting. Then you go home, look in the mirror again, nothing's changed. You spent all that time worrying through the day and it did nothing. And this is Jesus' second point. He says, worrying is a waste of time. It won't change anything. He says, who of you worrying can add a single day to your life? Worrying is a waste of time. Or maybe you're like me and you're thinking, maybe I could take a day off my life, or maybe a year, or maybe a few years, or can I get a decade out there? But does it make sense? Worrying about where you are, worrying about who you are, is not going to change one single bit. And Jesus says, relax. You can't change it, so why worry about it? And maybe we can accept the smaller things. Yeah, we got some pimples. Might have put on a bit of weight. Whatever. But what about when you worry, your worries get a little more serious? What about those things that are out of our control? Maybe for the parents in here, you think about your child that's at school and you have no control about how they're being treated at school and you just, that's your worry. That's inside you. Or maybe for the students out there, maybe you've gotten the raw end of the stick when you go to school and you worry every time you set foot in school knowing what's going to happen. Or maybe you're supporting a whole family and out of the blue, you lose your job. What do you do? There's worry involved in that. See, some worries can simply consume us because they're out of our control and we've got no certainty for the future. And when there's no certainty, that's when we worry. So what do? Don't worry, be happy. Is that sufficient? Don't worry, be happy. Just think about the positive things in life. Yeah, forget about that. I don't think so. For some of you, that's almost offensive because you may have deep worries. And you may actually suffer from some sort of anxiety. That must be so draining. That your whole life might revolve around that anxiety, but we know that God is a healer. And can I say that if you do suffer from that, that God is a healer and he heals in different ways. Sometimes miraculously, sometimes supernaturally. Often he uses doctors, he uses medicine. And I want to say, if that's something that you are suffering, then seek to get healed. Seek to find out what's wrong and how to get that dealt with. But it's not just medicine that we should seek. And so far, what Jesus has said is he's told us what not to do. Don't worry. Don't worry about clothes. Don't worry about food. Then he says one thing that we should do instead. He says, seek first his kingdom. What does that mean? Seek first his kingdom. What Jesus is talking about is focusing on the things of God. Focusing on what God's heart is, who God is, and then stepping out into those areas. And when you start to understand what God's heart is, then you realize it's all about others. It's all about loving others. It's all about giving rather than gaining. See, the world says, if you want no worries, get more. But Jesus is saying it's all about giving rather than gaining. See, the world puts all its focus on what can we get? What can we get? If we're worried about something, we just get more. But Jesus said, focus on God, seek his kingdom, and it will be the opposite of what the world is doing. And what I believe is Jesus isn't just talking about the things here on earth. He's actually talking also about heaven. Because he goes on to say, instead of building our treasure here on earth, that's eventually going to fade away. He said, build a treasure in heaven where it will never fail. And here's the most exciting bit. Once you seek his kingdom, something greater than where you are now, everything else is put into perspective. So once you place your hope and your life into something that's not movable, everything else gets put into perspective. Now, in a few weeks, the State of Origin is going to be on. Now, if you don't know what the State of Origin is, it's probably one of the most bogan things that we do. Apart from saying, Aussie, oi, oi, oi. That's right. Now, State of Origin, New South Wales versus Queensland in rugby league. Let me explain to you what's going to happen. Some people might call me a pessimist. I'm more of like a realist or whatever. I'm realness. And this is, you know, based on history and fact and all that, you know. This is what's going to happen. State of Origin, there's three games. To win the trophy, the whole competition, all you have to do is win two of them. Two of those three games. This is what's going to happen. Put your money on this. First game, Queensland is going to smash New South Wales. It's going to bring back a lot of memories from last year, the last 8 years or whatever. So they've won one. We've still got a chance. Second game, this is what's going to happen. New South Wales is going to play their heart out. We're going to do so well. We'll be cheering. This is the game. This is our team. We're back. We've got a chance. And then Queensland will win in the end. That's number two. They've won the trophy. The engraving guy is putting a QLD 2014 on the trophy. Does it make sense that the result is locked in? The outcome has already been decided, but we still have to play the third game. This is what will happen in the third game. New South Wales is going to smash it. We're going to do so well. We're going to be like, yeah, this is the team. Maybe next year we'll be all right. This is how we should have played the first two games. We're going to smash it. What do you think Queensland is thinking? I don't think they would care whatsoever what score is in the third game. Does it make sense? The outcome has already been determined. They've already got the trophy. See, when the outcome is already locked in, it doesn't matter what happens up until that point. You've already won. Jesus brings a perspective. Once we seek his kingdom, Jesus brings a perspective. When the outcome is certain, you don't have to worry about what happens until then. This is a game changer. And I was thinking about this whole concept this week, and a picture came into my mind of the anchor. An anchor. Now, when you see Jesus making this distinction of what are you going to live for? Are you going to live for the things of this world, or are you going to seek my kingdom and place your hope into me? I believe that our hope is like an anchor. You see, if my hope is for a more secure future, more comfortable future, then what can I do about that? Well, I'm going to go to university, get a degree, make sure I pass with flying colors, get a job, make sure I get every promotion, earn more money. And that's where I throw all my hope. I throw my anchor in and I hope that it's going to hold, because that is my hope. Or maybe my hope is a relationship or marriage. And so what do I do? Well, I would just be more confident. Start chatting to more ladies. Maybe go out, you know, out of my house a few times just to meet them or whatever. And then maybe go on a few dates. Maybe pick the best one and go from there. Make sure she's always happy and then put a ring on it. And then happy for life. Does it make sense? If that's my hope, then I'm going to throw my anchor into all of that, hoping that it's going to hold. But unfortunately, the reality is it never holds. No matter what hope you have, it never holds. Just look at the divorce rate. Just look at the insecurity in jobs. It never holds. So wherever you throw your hope, wherever you throw your anchor, eventually it's going to fade away. But this is what I believe, and this is what's really exciting. When Jesus says, seek first his kingdom, he actually says, put your hope in something more than what you already see. Put your hope in something that's not going to fade away. Later in the verse, he says that. He says, build up a treasure, not here, not on earth, because eventually it's either going to fall away or you're going to die, and where's the treasure going to go? But he says, place your treasure, start building your treasure in eternity, in heaven, which is unmovable. And I picture this, and this is what really excites me, because once you put your hope in Jesus, once you seek his kingdom, then it is secure. And if we believe what Jesus says, then this will never move. Now, I don't know if a Christian has ever said this or if you've been to church and they gave you the opinion that if you give your life to Jesus, oh, it's just a simple life ahead. You have no worries. You have the best life ever. God will fix everything. I'm pretty confident that that's a lie. Because if you're a Christian here tonight, you know there's still worries. Things still happen. But the cool thing is, no matter where you go in life, no matter what gets thrown your way, no matter how many times you stumble, no matter where you move, does it make sense that that anchor is never going to move? And when you have that perspective, that will never move, no matter where you go in life, you know that there's something better that will never fade away. And what excites me about this is my story. I had like a little bit of a Christian upbringing. Kind of. And I thought I was a Christian. But year seven, see, I was this weird little kid. Like so nervous. I was the warrior and not the good type. I had worries about everything. I didn't want to speak to anyone. I didn't want anyone to speak to me. Like, I was just so nervous about everything. And it wasn't just people. It was God as well. You see, I thought that being a Christian meant that you had to be good enough for God to accept you. That everything you did counted. You can't live that life. No wonder I was so stressed out. Because I was trying to prove myself and achieve these things to make God happy. But it got even worse. You see, I went to Castle Hill High. And back when I was at Castle Hill High, the only kids that went to Castle Hill High were the kids that got expelled from other schools. So it was a pretty fun school. I'm sure it's changed a lot these days. So I was this nervous little kid, and I walked into school, and far out, it's like a prison here. I'm going to get annihilated. But I thought, all right, I'll just keep my head down. Just lay low. Maybe you'll make it through high school. Maybe. There's one problem. My dad was a scripture teacher. And to make it even worse, he looked like Jesus. So, my plan was over. From then on, I was the son of Jesus. As much as I try to keep my head low, don't talk to anyone, just don't draw any attention to yourself, it was over. Over in a flash, I was doomed. Imagine the worry that set in. But I got to year 8 and I actually heard the gospel for the first time. I actually found out who Jesus really was. And what I found out was I was completely wrong about what it meant to be a Christian. See, I thought it was putting your hope in yourself. What can I do? What shouldn't I do to be good enough for God? But putting your hope in yourself, you know is going to fail because we're not perfect. We're far from perfect. And that's what I felt. But I got to year 8 and I heard about the Jesus who paid everything for me to be able to come to God. And I didn't have to do anything to receive that gift. I heard of a God who loved me so much, they didn't leave me where I was. They actually took me out and put my anchor in heaven, put my anchor in a hope that would never fail. And the times that I'd ignore God, the times that I didn't do what he wanted, which is sin, I couldn't deal with that myself. We can't deal with that ourselves. And if we try, that's a stressful life. That is worry. But the best thing is that Jesus takes all of that. And as we celebrated at Easter, he died on the cross, rose back to life, and dealt with all of that sin forever for all of us. And once we realize that, all he says is, seek my kingdom. Put your hope firmly in something that cannot move, that something that will not change. And we just hold on and wait for that beautiful day when there is no more pain, no more tears, and no more worry. So maybe you're here and you're a Christian, but worry is still a massive part of your life. You might have come in and you know the things that are on your heart. It's not wrong to worry, okay? It's a human thing to worry, but I asked you at the beginning, what are you worried about? Jesus has done everything and your eternity is secure. So what are you worried about? What are you worried about? I want to say, continue to seek his kingdom. Continue to seek what God wants for your life. And you will find a peace that goes beyond all understanding. But maybe you're here and you're visiting and you came with a friend, or like they tied you up and put you in the trunk and drove you here. They church snapped you. I made that up. That's pretty good. And maybe this is the first time you've heard the gospel. Maybe you were like me and you thought, I'm trying to take these steps towards God. You will always fail. Or maybe you've been here for a while and it's only just dawned on you what that means to give your life to Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity tonight. We don't normally do this at church, but we want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus tonight, to put that anchor in eternity and get perspective on this life. Because he will take your worries, he will take your anxiety, and most importantly, he will take your sin and deal with it forever. And all you have to do is ask. That's the best thing about being a Christian. All you have to do is ask. And it says in that verse that God is happy to give it to us. It's a gift. He's happy to give us the kingdom. So what are you worried about? Will you give your worries over to God tonight that will last all eternity? I'm going to pray for us, and I want to pray for you if you want to make that decision tonight. It's a big decision, but it's a simple decision. Place all your hope in Jesus. And then no matter what happens in this life, you know that you will always be secure in a place that will never move. So I'm going to pray. And if you want to pray this prayer, it'll be short, it'll be simple. Just repeat the words in your own mind, and then we'll say amen at the end. And then I want to show you the next response that we're going to do. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you love us. And we thank you that you sent your Son to deal with all our worry. And more importantly, all of our sin. We're sorry for the times that we've ignored you. We pray that we will seek your kingdom. And we thank you that when we place our hope in Jesus, that anchor will never move. I pray that you give us a new perspective on this life. We thank you for this gift. And we pray that we will live the rest of our days seeking your kingdom and following you. Amen. I want to say, if you prayed that and you prayed that from your heart, then God has already answered it. You have whacked your anchor firmly in heaven, and it will never move from this point, no matter what happens. And I want to say, welcome to the family. God and the angels are partying in heaven, and I like parties, so that excites me. But the next step is really important. Because the next step means that you can help get connected and help you grow in being a Christian and growing in your faith. So I want everyone to grab one of these. They should be in front of you. Now, I want everyone to be able to fill one of these out. So maybe you have to share a pen. But I just want you to read through this, and I want to show you a few things that you can do. And I want to tell you where these cards end up, because I'm like behind the scenes and I get to see it all. It's very exciting. What this card is for is to say, I made that response. I prayed that prayer, and I've become a Christian tonight. And if that is you, I want you to tick the last box. Today I started a relationship with Jesus. You can put exclamation marks or love hearts around it because it is an exciting time. I want you to tick that. Simply put your name, a phone number and an email address, and that's it. You can write comments on the back if you want. If that was you, I want you to fill that out. But maybe you've still got questions. Maybe you want to chat to a minister tonight or during the week. Tick the second box. I have a question. Put your details down and we will get in contact with you. If you're visiting and you weren't too offended by this whole thing, then just tick I'm visiting, and that's totally cool. If you want to do a Christianity Explained course, which is pretty much taking you on a journey through what it means to be a Christian, if it wasn't clear enough, then just tick that and we'll get in contact as well. If you're already a Christian, member of St. Paul's, make yourself known. You can put like anchored and a little box and tick it, and we'll celebrate with you as well. But this is so we can help take the next step with you. And just to let you know where these cards go, we're going to be putting them in the offertory bag as they come around after. They come to the staff this week. And if you're like a young adult, then it'll come to me and I'll contact you. If you're not a young adult, it'll go to one of the other ministers. If you put a prayer request down, and I want to say, this sermon was about worries. And if you've got some particular worries that you need prayer for, put them down, because every Tuesday and Thursday, we have a staff meeting, we put the cards out, and we pray specifically for you by name. So we want you to know that that happens. So you can write that prayer point on the back. This whole point is for us to help you take the next step. So fill those out and we'll get contact with you. But I want to say, if you made that change today, if you made that response, I'm excited for you, because it is a life-changing response. Thank you so much, guys.